for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my lovely IHP community. To the 5D Collective. Let us chit-chat about the lovely choice points that we all are. And on that note, the first part that we can begin with is that our lovely family, so our herd, is for sure for the secure attachment person, the actual biggest of those emotional so-called triggers, because that's when you will have been your 0-1-year-old attached, panicky, your 3-7 shame submissive, your freeze of all ages, and your flight 11-12 and your fight 14-15-16. Okay, so with that being said, you remember your body, your nervous system, your embodied brain, you remember aspects reason attachment and trauma information is so important is so that people can understand the sensations, images, affects, meaning, behavior, what comes up. Once you become, at the very least, attachment and trauma informed, you can know why your self, your whole self, will have areas that are more, you know, like, oh, I don't really want to do this. Okay, so it's not necessarily a big deal, but it is something that if you're looking to become the emotionally mature version of yourself, which is what we talk about, so to be you, you get to use as that playground. So you get to put into practice being an equanimous, emotionally speaking person. And like I said, your immediate nuclei and who you were a child and an infant with is where you're going to find the biggest equations, the biggest aspects that you're gonna want to be aware of. Not everybody is aware of that. And here's why, you know, connection. It's the opposite of addiction, but our relationships are only going to grow when two people are mutually interested in growing that. And so we're going to use our lovely Patrick Tiahan. He's really great when it comes to sharing what the childhood trauma person will have been through and what anybody who is a person, though, by the way, I would like to address that aspect because our family, our herd, is always going to be our herd. So for secure attachment people, we don't have the dysregulated nervous system bit, and we don't have a fragmented self, and we don't have a self that is invisible. And so we don't stop our life for another person. Okay, so that's number one. The people who know how to love their self first, they don't actually say no to themselves. They say, yes, my world revolves around my three-year-old. Everybody else comes after, and I don't owe anyone my 24 hours. And so from your immediate herd to your extended herd, this does not get harder, it gets easier. Okay, so what you will notice, I share with you episodes on self-empowered women, on the self-empowered solo polyamory human being, and I'm going to keep giving you those opinionated pieces so that you can hear more and more what it's like. And it's straightforward as it gets. We don't have a shame button. When you have reparented yourself, you will know this if you have not yet done so. And it's something, though, you consistently work to stay within unflappability, equanimity, to notice when you are in a emotional, mental, and body energetic state that begins to get a bit of an energy that is not of that, I don't know what word I want to use. I just wanted to say it's not laundry, though. It's definitely not laundry. It's more of, okay, come on in, Shiva. That's what I should talk about. It's like, Shiva, come in. It's no big deal. Come on in, Krishna Lila. Okay, come in. Krishna Lila is our ventral vagal nervous system. Breathe. Let me focus on my breathing. And let me just reassess my entire demeanor. And there you go. There's a ventral vagal nervous system exercise in a second of let me lead myself back to my whole three-year-old heart. No reason to be in whatever this charge is. Doesn't even need to be expressed. But it does need to be addressed if you're going to allow yourself to be more and more of your whole consciousness. Oh, it's beautiful. You're more enlightenment vibration person. Okay, just saying. So you get to put that if you want. You don't have to, but for secure attachment, self-empowered people, it's really easy. What I just did, I was just like putting myself in the mix of it. And so that's why playground again. We don't look at our family as, oh, not again. Or like I said, it comes up. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Go three-year-old. You don't need to be. What do you need? What do you need? It's okay. No pouting necessary. So we learn how to share ourselves with the herd and how to use our interactions, our consistent ones. And here's the nice thing about our oversoul. As I was saying, when it comes to, in our other episode, twin flames, it's like a river that has minerals. Well, with our soulmates, it's like a river that is purified. Even though I know some people like their minerals, but I'm trying to say the difference is the smooth, smooth, very smooth and like crystalline from the mountain type, you know, versus the minerals, which involve the rocky minerals, right? So not sediments, but you get my drift. So they're both equally nice, but one is... You're doing the same kind of things, and so your smooth sailing is because you're enjoying to excitedly embark on those areas of self-worth and inner child that you're looking to bring within the relationship. The others challenge you to become more, but in order for that more to then keep moving into what would also translate to the river that is from the mountains with the soulmates, there's the two that are going to be looking to it together. Okay, so there are areas of the depth of each of us that we can explore when our heart is wanting to be shared with another. Twin flames can do that, soulmates can do that. It's your entire oversoul. There were always choice points for being able to share our heart with each other. The different energetic imprint, that one is just an example, but also remember, you will instinctively know if you have a twin flame or not. You don't need a coach, and there's no necessarily, especially if you're 5D mystic, obsessive thinking in the way of I'm dependent. The thinking is because you will know this is my twin flame, and you will recalibrate, and you don't have a question about it. It's not devastating. You're not lost. You're not in a crisis. You'll share with your friends like you usually do. That's what we all do. We share our romance with friends, okay? So let's move forward with our other stuff. Patrick Tihan, the double-edged sword of our childhood trauma leaves us paying too much for our gifts until healing. And he has your gift and what it costs. He says, as childhood trauma survivors, we had these strategies to adapt and survive the abuse, but they come at a heavy cost. You might be excellent at putting out fires or rescuing people, but you need to learn how to rest and be content in the absence of emergencies. Be amazing at showing up for others, but viscerally hate attention when attention is on you. Be a juggernaut provider or achiever, but you need to learn to connect with those you provide for or yourself outside of providing or achieving. Have a special talent like art or music, but only know your value in that one aspect of your life, of yourself, excuse me. And then he says, I've been a therapist since I was 4 years old, first being a parentified child and surrogate spouse. I became a little sage for my mother, and then I became the same counsel for other lost souls in the bars where I would spend most of my childhood in. The gift of being that mature, special little person in the eyes of the adults was costly. I didn't know what was going on with me, being focused on my mother's marriage, her drinking, her happiness, and her roller coaster emotions. I was absorbed in her world when it should have been the other way around. So, to the point, I had no sense of self, just the overwhelming adult in front of me. We develop a healthy sense of self from safe parents. In adulthood, when I started my private practice and clients sought help, I found myself in the same triggered space. I was good at what I did, but I was too invested in their progress and what was happening for them outside of our time together. At a level, I was activated to the cost of my self-care and family time. I needed to heal the double-edged sword of trauma. I could be just a good therapist and hold healing space instead of what felt like being responsible for holding someone's life up. There is a difference. That was about my mother. That was the setup from my childhood that needed healing and more psychotherapy. In the post caption, I struggled with using the word quote-unquote gift. Why not raise children in safety and love and let their gifts develop organically? Just a thought. And I don't know what he meant by the struggle with using, if he was triggered because of, you know, being reminded that as a child he didn't get to just be a child. So his gifts were not, you know, just allowed to be, again, a kid who can be, we're all embodied nervous systems, so embodied brains. So we all will tend to each other as humans, which is maybe what he means. I can definitely relate to being there for each other. And again, that's why with family, a secure attachment person will learn to nurture themselves, or if you're redirected. So like I was redirected again and again, mind your own business, you do you, your sister does herself, I do me, I'm the mom, you're the kid, be the kid, be the kid. Okay, so by being addressed that way, I learned how to tend to my own emotional plane as well as to leave others the space to tend to their own, because I was held with that voice, with that repeat. And it's not a story, it was more of, we are here to share, you know, house together. That doesn't mean you need to be in each other's space. And learning how to say no, it's easy when you will have been given that much room to be on your own, again, emotionally. You remember the story from my book? I would go to a corner and just sit with myself, and I liked it because it was quiet there and I could sit and be, I used the word depressed, which I'm pretty sure my adult family members used, or maybe my mother, but I don't remember being depressed. But I found it funny that I would go to a corner and just sit there to think, even though I like corners, and I try not to go towards corners. But what I'm saying is I recognize that corners make me feel more secure than an open space. And I attribute it to being small and wanting to, you know, just curl up and feel all those walls around you. But, you know, I don't do it. What I'm saying, your body speaks to you, though. So you'll know what you feel good in. And that fetus or fetal position is actually one of a sense of safety, because you're all curled up inside yourself. Okay, so long story short, as we move forward with today's topic, when you are presented with people in your life, you're always going to be choice points, twin flames, soulmates, or for those of you who don't have the mystic stuff going on, people that you get to grow up with. And when you learn how to be securely attached, you're not tending to your friends the way that people who are in codependent relationships do. So you don't give in to when they're projecting their unfinished business. And some stories that I have involve, example, calling people. I had some people that would say, you never call. I was like, yes, I'm not going to call you all the time. I don't always have money on my phone, because in Italy, you have to have money on your phone. But also, I'm busy with school, or I'm busy with work, or I'm busy with this. And, you know, these people, they would be like, but I call you all the time. You never call. So I began saying, I don't do. Let me list the ways that I will call you or not. And in fact, this is where I didn't negotiate. And if people continued to present as if I needed to succumb to what they wanted from me, I would not. I would completely be like, I'm not going to be doing this. So we don't have to talk. I'm not negotiating. And I didn't negotiate. And I didn't feel bad, because the aspect of us choosing how to use our time, if you consciously choose to make a phone call, you made it. If you're keeping a list of how many times you call me, then you are writing a you owe me list, which is where the codependent people come in. They don't have the emotional independence, and they have what is a expectation, and it's one that is not subjectively understanding that somebody has a different use of their time. And while there are groups of people that will agree with that type of mannerism, this is a very black and white way of thinking. It's called, you don't know how to work with gray. It's also called, you're pretty strict and rigid, so you're not flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, or stable. Your integration of the brain is being halted by you deciding that you're going to stay within a charge for something that you subjectively believe needs to happen. So if I call you once, you have to call me once. And here's where expanding beyond concepts takes place instead, for the ones of us who are expanding consciousness as a securely attached, whole, thrilled heart, and being consistently Purusha, pure consciousness, I am presence, unconditional love, and Prakriti, pure energy, not losing the innocence of your whole, thrilled heart, And why three? Because the first three are implicit memory. But then as you move to your 8 years of age, and then you're an adolescent and teenager, you're uncharging as you get older by becoming the flexible, adaptive, coherent, energized, stable brain. So this is an organic process for people who have healthy self-worth and know how to easily love their self, easily, which means I don't put Maria to the side because you decided that I need to meet your expectations. No, I also, though, don't shame, blame, fault, or revenge you. I do not do adaptive child mannerisms, which is, I'm going to make it about me. I know I'm right or wrong. Those are all teenagers, Cuscos and squirrels. The I'm right and you don't call and I want you to call. No, you're not one right. You have a subjective opinion of what it means to do this communication thing. It's different than mine. You're thinking you don't like it. Great and dandy. I'm not going to like it because I don't do communication that way. So you have in your presence a equation. A human being you enjoy communicating with doesn't communicate the way you want. And you presenting it through projection, you have to do it because this is what the right way is by giving me a scale. If I call you 3 times, you have to call me 3. That's, again, not a negotiation. That is you telling me how you do communication. I tell you I don't do that this way. I have free communication. Maybe I'll call you, maybe I won't. But the reality is I'm also explaining to you that I don't have potentially the means. And every time you're still using a specific way of trying to create, or long story short, you're not accepting the dynamic. So when people bring to you their unfinished business, it's because they are not getting out of their adaptive child. And in fact, the Cuscos and squirrels, there's plenty of them, because they're not independently moving through their day-to-day. What you can call those groups are the martyrs or superiors. They're pushy. The blamers, they do something different. They will ensure you know that they are victim due to you not emotionally having fulfilled one of their needs or many of their needs. It all depends. But basically, I did everything. I do everything. I'm always nice. I'm always there. And you gave me the short end of the stick. And when I found myself in either of these cases, they get the same ventrovagal, basically. I will see if I can figure out next time what your emotional stuff is doing, but I'm pretty sure I won't. But I'll try, just I don't think I'll be successful in that at all. Like, seriously. Because I cannot read minds, even though I'm a mystic. So this is that part of where a person who comes at you with their victimhood, you're not going to be able to say, let me get upset at you, because they're already coming. I'm hurt. And I'm wounded, and you didn't do anything to make it better, and you really don't have any clue of, you couldn't have, because it's, again, they're going through shit, not the other way around. So in both cases, you present to the best of your ability what you can and cannot do, and you don't shy away from if, let's say, they bring a confrontation. That's the minute that you will allow yourself to say, you know, I noticed that we are going to agree to disagree right now, or we are, and so we're really different. I will not be able to meet your expectations whatsoever. So how do we want to proceed? Because this is never going to happen at all. I had one of my lovely friends say, you can't be friends with this person because they're dating somebody that I'm dating. I said, one, you're both lovers of this person. Neither one of you is dating. Two, I don't have my friends tell me who I can be friends with or not. So I will let you know that this isn't going to happen. So you should let me know if you want to stay friends with me or not. I also, by the way, find it ridiculous, because it's not like I'm going to tell them our conversations. But like I said, neither one of you is dating this human being. You're both lovers. And you telling me not to be friends with them because they're dating somebody that you're both lovers around is just something that I find completely interesting, to say the least. Because you really shouldn't even be going out with him anymore. He's just using you for sex and whatever else is going on here. And mentally, you seem to be in anguish too. And so does the other person. So I feel bad for both of you. So But again, I'm not going to decline my friend and not talk to her because you think I shouldn't. So what do you want to do? It's not been hard to spell out to people in a calm and very understanding way. Of course, your insecurities and whatever it is that your brain is doing is respected, because that's exactly what it means when you're a person who understands that not everybody sees the world the same way your three-year-old does. Like, I was shared by my mother, so I know not everybody sees the world like my three-year-old does. And I'm a grown-up. But healthy self-worth is the whole three-year-old heart of a person who doesn't feel shame about saying, I don't want to play this way, and I won't, and I'm not negotiating. Because my 24 hours, I got told it's my life to live, and that is what I know when I wake up in the morning, when I go to sleep at night, and if I really have to compromise, then it's going to be with my immediate herd. And, you know, the immediate herd is really, really, really the people that we build. Like, we say, hey, we're going to build roofs together. We're going to be in vicinity of roofs together. Like, I'm just saying, those are the ones you have to negotiate with. That's where solo polyamory, we're really into not building a couple-centric life, because we do enjoy the herd. I mean, at least for me, what worked out really great is I enjoyed knowing how I was going to keep on moving forward as I began my career. And to this day, I'm pretty on point. I'm thinking there's one thing that I need to fix. Other than that, everything's smooth sailing, which is why when we have people who are upset. So, you know, it's sad when we have people who hide themselves from us. Yes, this has happened too. I don't like please appeasers. I know that they need a good therapist. That I know, like any person who does not have secure attachment. But the please appeasers, what I notice is they're the ones who come out eventually. So they'll be able to hide themselves really, really good for like a pretty good amount of time. The reason is their nervous system knows how to do attach, cry, and collapse, submit. They know how to mask every single one of themselves because their nervous system is literally trying to figure out what you want and to make sure you get it. And that's why. So they are not hiding on purpose, but their body is making sure that the person that they're trying to make sure is always happy with them is always happy with them. And you know what I know about who we each are? Yeah. The three-year-old, even if you have a broken-hearted three-year-old and you're please-appeaser, and again, I have all the compassion in the world, but even if you're that, you're going to come out sooner or later because you do have a personality. We all do. I have one. You have one. It's called your name, ego self. My name's Maria, ego self, personality. I just learned, thank you, Mom, how to share the floor and how to tell people exactly how I think. That was my personal choice. I still get told, you know, you don't have to say everything. I say, yeah, I know, I want to. I'm not going to hide shit from anyone. Why should I? I don't understand. Social time. Social. I don't need to perform. It's not a job. Societal culture, man, that depends. I'm walking around dressed. I follow the laws. That's my societal culture. I don't need to do not ask questions. Yeah, no, I don't have to not ask questions. Somebody can have emotional maturity and tell me not to ask a question, or they can also, you know, just learn how to talk. Because if you learn from the attachment and trauma researchers, anyone who has a problem answering questions doesn't have emotional maturity. So I know how emotionally mature people work. They have fun. Anybody who has a chip on their shoulder, that's called an ego-sensitive teenager who didn't grow up, and then others who also didn't grow up. And again, good therapist out there to help people to get out of, like Patrick Tianhan, as he points out, when somebody is projecting because they walked into the supermarket, the lady looked at them, that bitch looked at me weird. Yeah, that's projection of an insecure, low self-esteem human being who needs a good therapist. Or when you wake up in the shower and you're in the shower and you're like, I'm going to beat up Bill when I get to work. Another unfinished business. I know people like, oh no, but then you have no emotions. No, it's called adaptive child. It's not about emotions. You still have emotions. I got plenty of emotions. I'm just an unflappable equanimous person. It means I don't get destabilized again when my twin flames or soulmates or anyone for that matter, socially speaking, does something that I completely am like, what? What is this? I'm going to tell you. No, I'm going to ask you. Can you answer my question, please? I'm going to be an annoying person who will continue to ask until you answer me. And that's what people find out about those who are direct communicators. My younger sister, I love her. She will make some jokes sometimes, reminding me of my teenager years. And so one of them is, if you put Maria with a bunch of teenagers in a room, she'll come out talking. They'll be silent. It's true. I just don't do it anymore because, you know, teenager is one thing. I was a teenager once, not a teenager anymore. Okay, so when you meet, like I was saying, the please appeasers, they have a three-year-old with an opinion. They have a personality. And that's why they would do best to bring it out. But they're trying to study people or, I don't know, make them happy or whatever it is. But really, they will also have the ability to notice who they are when they're with other people. So, you know, you choose how to mask yourself or to not become aware of yourself. But what I want to just conclude with is when you find out that you have a please appeaser, yeah, that's the minute that everything that they will speak moving forward, yeah, sure, of course. I don't even doubt that one. You better betcha. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if they're at a therapist room, they're looking to not be a please appeaser anymore. When they've uncovered themselves to you, it's because they will have made either a backhanded comment, a random accusation of some sort, gossip behind your back, some little spiteful comment, become competitive somehow. Like there's this energy, like a mean girls type stuff going on. And it's like, okay, then wow, that was really unexpected. And now that I know that whatever the sucking up was, you know, obviously from your childhood, I think that it'd be fair and square for you to actually make yourself known, apologize. I mean, I don't know. I mean, apology is not necessarily necessary, but then again, maybe, yeah. Because really, if you can't address things that you have done, if somebody tells me, which I've been told, again, I'm going to use me as the example. So like the friend that said you shouldn't talk to the friend, they didn't like what I said. I said, I love you, but I don't do that. I'm just, luckily for me, she has personality. And she's like, you know what? I know you have personality. I have personality. Fine. And we're to this day friends. Another person... next time, remember when people go through shit, and I got this lecture about what not to do, and I was doing something that I thought was actually, you know, kind of like that girl code shit, and I'm polyamory, so I mean, for me, it shouldn't have been a big deal, but I wanted to be respectful, as I know most human beings are monoamory, and actually, it's funny, because I have another story that was similar, but it happened the other way around. And when it happened to me, and it wasn't even just, mine was a random bullshit situation that I just shared. But this one, I'll never forget this one. This one was, I was not going to address it for two reasons, and I didn't. Because my girlfriend, I love her to death, and I already knew that she was that type. You can always tell when you got a prima donna in front of you because of the way that they need to dominate the scene. And I just love letting anyone that wants to dominate the scene, because I'm not trying to dominate a scene. I'm just going out and have fun with my girlfriends. I mean, I don't want to attract any men that way. You know, like that's not even, yeah. So long story short, it's not my cup of tea, the lust thing. No, this was my only one interaction of, if you will, this quote unquote lust thing. And that's why I was like, you know what? You already knew yourself, Maria. So now you confirmed it. But long story short, it was just fascinating to see, as a young 22-year-old, was it? 21, 22-year-old. So, you know, I guess that's pretty young. But for people to do something which is not even, you know, nobody was talking about polyamory back then. But that's exactly why I didn't make it into like a big deal, because it wasn't a big deal to me, but it was interesting because of not talking about things. So when you're not talking about things, you're not making any of those, you know, clear lines of what do we establish as people. Since I'm not a person who's jealous or envious or in any way, shape, or form going to say, oh, you're trying to compete, because I don't know. I mean, for me, you might not. I can tell if you're prima donna, like I said, because of the attitude, but the prima donna doesn't mean it's personal. It just means that it's a person who wants all the attention for themselves. And like I said, it's because they're girls and women, young women. I should just call them young women, but I've seen young women who want to be courted. And I don't find that courting. No, that's not courting. In fact, like I said, one time alone, no, not courting. Courting, romancing, it's people who they go out for coffee, they go out to watch movies, they have talks, they drink together, they laugh together, they talk together consistently, not just some random shit going on. So that's courting, that's romancing. Whenever I've been to clubs, I go to dance. I don't go to have a one night. I'm not interested. That's the part, the lusting, one night stands. Nobody's interested. If there's a human being behind the scenes looking to develop what is an intimate relationship. Mechanically speaking, what I found, both women and men during my college years who did the whole one night stands and they just fucked each other without any kind of, you know, thinking like the Hangover movie, they think this is cool, which I'm like, that's not cool. It's not cool as a young teenager who doesn't know anything. Even though we get, you know, luckily we have sex ed and thank goodness there's better sources for kids. But what I'm saying is totally people misunderstand, because movies are bullshit and shitty to make what are shame cycles look like they're cool. You have songs. I was reviewing, I forget which songs. They all are adaptive children. Low self-esteem human beings who are not yet grown, emotionally mature human beings. There's all this wording and talking as if, you know, some tragedy is about to strike. And it's an inner critic with an outer critic. And then there's this idea, drugs, alcohol, and fucking is what you do, or eating a bunch of food, or going and shutting yourself up in the room. And yes, I understand that we have these situations going on. I'm saying our entertainment does not provide any good examples. When you talk to adults, they think, oh, that's too serious. Really, I'm going to say then we need better adults, because somewhere there has to be what sets some lines. Laws, thank goodness, they're going to protect physically at the very least. So we need to still work on those. But when I think of how people act as grown-ups, I see as a 44-year-old woman, human beings who perpetuate the shame cycle thinking it's cool. I saw it as a young adult in my college years. So these men and women, like I said, one time that was all for me. I was like, okay, yeah, no, that was not only disgusting, the person's disgusting, everything's disgusting. You have literally shamed what is something that is special between people. Because if you're a person, you're not a machine. If you want to be comparable to the survival instinct mode of our ancestors, yeah, that was way back when. Now, if you want to talk to me about anything when it comes to contact and human contact, even if you have the idea of good fucking, it's going to be good if you are a human being in there, meaning that there's a inner child, your emotional plane. If you don't have bilateral integration, if you're not intimate with your own emotions and you don't know your whole self or yourself, you're not doing anything. So when I know that people treat this thing called sex like a lustful machine, it's because, one, I would say that our movies definitely do not contribute to educating anything at all, nor do the people who are looking up information and continue to go to their gender stereotype human beings, like the one lovely Venus of Goddess. Girls, remember, if a man says he wants to fuck you, don't think of wedding bells. And I, one, will say, which man is going to tell you the truth about that one? Because I have yet to meet them. And I know plenty of coaches who have lots to say about the men who hide their ideas and then they come out later. So we want more grown-ups who share. Okay, I've seen one guy, he does a really great job at sharing with young boys and young men by doing videos with other videos of the young boys and young men who are completely not understanding how to be emotionally mature because they don't have good examples, like with women. Okay, so what I'm talking about is we want to talk good examples, and movies are bad examples. Drama, bad example. Drama means your survival mode. Lust means your survival mode. It is not about your preference into the bedroom. Before you can even know about your preference, you would want to learn about your attachment category. You would want to learn about your attachment style. You would want to learn about your trauma charges. You would want to learn about yourself before you can even bother to tell me what you like in the bedroom. I'm going to wonder how much of your own self-love do you have in the forefront? Because I know many people, not only as they were teenagers, low self-esteem, indirect communicators, passive-aggressive. Oh yeah, they don't know boundaries. Adults canceling each other by blocking each other, unfriending each other, yelling at each other, slapping each other, being, yeah, no, I see movies out there. Then I see them saying, oh, no, but these are emotions. Wrong again. So we want to make sure younger generations understand it's not about celibacy. I met these two women. I'll never forget where they come from or their ideas. I was like, did you forget being a teenager? Oh, yeah, but no, I didn't do much. Okay, yeah, well, what you did or didn't do doesn't matter. You want to, one, educate, but beyond educate, setting an example means how men, women, they treat each other. So with our movies, this is a shitty example, all of them. I haven't seen yet one that actually gives you what healthy self-worth. Oh, you know what the answer is? It's boring. So people are bored by emotionally mature human beings. Do you understand? Okay, so if that's the case, because entertainment needs to be the area of emotions that people want to navigate because they don't really realize how amazing blissfulness is, that's great, fine, good for them. Here, I'm sharing with my lovely community, we want to behave like pachas out there. Women, men, and days. So the choice point is straightforward in my book. Like I was saying, machine, nobody's a machine if you have an inner child. So yeah, courting, romancing ain't a little rabbit. Okay, it's not procreating the way our ancestors did, which that is a whole many years ago, and we're not there anymore. And the people that I saw in my college years, they all talked about, I feel more lonely than before. I feel ashamed. So between women and men, I never heard once any of them who did the sex thing again and again and again and again come out and be like, hey, guess what I am? I'm having so much fun. I'm so great. No, they, and here's the part we learned from not only Aaron Dowdy, who did a really great video on what happens when you're mixing that energy stuff for my mystics there. Okay. One, it's not enmeshment because that's requiring a person who's insecure to enmesh. You don't enmesh if you have healthy self-worth, but you will entangle. Entanglement, that does actually take place. And here's where, let me see, how can I share? So for my mystics, okay, for my mystics, when it's your soulmates, you will know. When it's your twin flames, you will be activated. That one is something that happens. You don't have to be near each other. My twin flames, all three of them, I had a specific way of knowing. And in two out of three, it was from afar. And so that's what I can share with you. As for why one was from basically with the connection that made a lot of sense just because of, you know, when... Yeah, it just makes sense. There are things that when you are not paying too much attention to them, if you will, soulmates too can happen, okay? So soulmates, for example, with Claire's active, it's because of coming into contact with something that is one of their lives, at least for me. So you'll have a download. From one download, you'll then continue to have more downloads. Then there are other soulmates. These ones are a lot more amazing, if you will, but that's because they're empowered individuals. So when you meet a healthy, self-worth human being, and they're part of your crew, of your herd, you are both equally participant in a way of what you want to establish. So it's different, and it's fun. It's fun because of knowing the person and or the people. And it's just nice because of meeting energetically speaking, a person and or people, again, who are emotionally maturing, they're available to their self. When you, and this is anyone, it can be twin flames, soulmates, again, over soul pieces, just saying you will know as those individuals when there's a relationship and a bond, what's happening, what's taking place. Some people from our oversoul, they don't continue to grow. And that's something, let's talk about that one. So one, for the fucking business, I have not heard any person who does it as a means of, let me just fuck around, come out being happy. They get confused, what I was going to say, because the entanglement, you are actively taking on what will be another person's energy. It's not dirty. It's not dirty. It's not negative. That's not what this is. If you meet any of Stephen Porges's work, there's one of his memes, not memes, but one of his, I forget, but it's one of those quotes. It's a quote of his. I've read it to you before. He knows about entanglement, even though he uses a different way and a different word. And remember, there's limerence too. So there's a lot of aspects to be taken in consideration. I have spoken to any person that's ever shared something with me and been like, well, you know, if you don't enjoy after, you really shouldn't do it. No, but, well, it's making you feel more lonely. You said not less, more lonely, more upset. And that means don't do it. And that was even without knowing anything about the mystic stuff and, you know, again, entanglement. But shame cycles are the self-soothing mechanism. Inner critic, outer critic. I'm going to do drugs. I'm going to do alcohol. I'm going to keep doing it over and over and over again. And, oh, I feel lonely, but I won't notice that I can get out of that. And these were all educated human beings in college, which is why it's not college that makes you educatedly empowered. College is important for anyone who wants to actually learn. It's a beautiful place to go to for academic learning, meaning, okay? And if you're empowered, which there are plenty of empowered academics, amazing ones, in fact, but the ones who are there, not because they're empowered, but because they're fulfilling their duty, yeah, you can always notice who's a integrated brain versus a non-integrated. They're going to have compersion if they're integrated, and if they're not, then they're going to have an ego. You're going to meet that Cusco, and that's about it. But any person can move into their emotional abundance if they choose to. And today in 2024, with good attachment and trauma therapists, there's plenty of abundance, personal development right here. And if you're a secure attachment figure, you can also support each other. As we close on out, so I was going to touch upon the individuals. Now I lost it, but I thought of it. Shit. So yeah, it was important, but I guess not that important. As we approach our solar eclipse, remember that there are always beautiful things that take place. And so with your oversoul, that's all of the people who want to participate actively in your life. Here's where that, you know, romancing and courtship takes place with people who are actively wanting more intimacy. So lust has nothing to do with it. It's timid, it's shy, it's playful, it's beautiful, it's honest, it's actual easy. I mean, this is where actual love is not hard, because if you have healthy self-worth, you know how to love yourself first. And you are investing your time with people that invest their time, and you're enjoying more, not less. You don't leave, I want less. You leave, I want more. I want more time. I want more space to see, meaning I want more to be around. I don't want less. You don't want less of a person if they make you feel good about being you and you being yourself. So yeah, the aspect of what I saw as a teenager and an adult, young adult, and now as a full-blown, I guess you could say, grown-up adult and see other adults, there's plenty of people who think the shame cycle is cool. It's not. And they don't want to hear about attachment or trauma. They say that takes all your emotions away, and they want to keep watching shitty movies. Once again, they completely continue to think that that is the best of the emotional depth of them. It is so not. Any one of you who's new, your rest, rejuvenate, you being able to be a secure attachment, equanimous, unflappable human being, which is why you can thank your oversoul, because anytime they bring up any of those other emotions, as I was saying, you get to say, you know, I mean, Shiva, come in, Krishna Lila, let me enjoy. There's no reason for me to get into any kind of agitated or whatever it is, because there's no laundry, by the way, for the enlightenment soul age group, at least, because you got your 0-1-year-old, your 3-year-old, 7, you got everything, okay? All of it is here. You're not pointing a finger whenever I'm around those please appeasers, attached criers, collapsed submitters, the teenagers, all of them. I have compassion. I don't talk to them about attachment too much. I will, if they address me with, oh, they don't deserve love, they're disgusting, I'll say, you know, let me talk to you about DID. And then they will start to get maybe bored. I don't care. But if I'm outnumbered, then I'll just be quiet, not participate, because at that point I'm outnumbered. Even if I bother trying to talk, this is going to become not a talking, plus I'm, you know, the minority. So yeah, it's more of they're all on the same page with their own unfinished business. Oh look, they found bystanders who took their side, the human suffering love narrative people. Welcome aboard, have fun with your Cusco land and squirrels and Ursulas. Poor unfortunate souls, so sad but true. This one wanting to be thinner, that one wanting to get the girl, but do I help them? Yes, I do. And then they call Ursula the evil bitch or the evil witch, don't they? It's very interesting when you share education versus what Ursula does, and they're like, but I'm a victim of it, Maria. They broke my heart. They promised me everything. It was 3 months. Are you fucking kidding me? How old do you have to be to know what it means to actually be in a relationship? Does it not strike anybody odd? Even if it's a year. It takes 2 years to build a secure attachment. If you build that and the person actually chooses self-love, then you might be lucky to begin building something. Because that's the part. If a person has attachment wounds or trauma history and they haven't actually become very much aware of what they're dealing with, you can build whatever the fuck you want. They're going to go to that next unhealthy partner because they have unfinished business, FYI. So you're a choice point, my 5D collective. Those of you who are compassionate and unconditionally loving, this is for you all. I'm sure most of you are going to be here too, but I don't know. If any of you are not, this is not meant to sound like a criticism, even though I'm sure it's going to be like, ah, you're so mean. No, I'm not trying to be mean. If you have challenge loving yourself first, and you have a challenge dating people that are good for you, attachment trauma therapist, please, EMDR, to work with your bilateral integration. Child parts work to work with the child of you and reparent you, somatics. You can keep tuning in. I want you to come and do personal development, but you will not be dating in a better situation. You don't need to be drama, queen, king, or they. Nobody does. I wasn't even as a teenager. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Maria, because I got to choose when I got lied to. Time again and again and again, how I won't lie to you. Why would I be a coward and not tell the truth? I have nothing to hide. The cowardice part, it's a word that means cowardice, emotional fear. If you don't know how to stand up for yourself, this is something nobody needs to feel ashamed about. We all will begin life as a child. We will all have moments that we are not proud of. But you know how you take your side by knowing I unconditionally love me. I'm imperfect and flawed. I consciously made choices. They did not fit my heart body, my value body. They don't make me feel happy about what I chose. I didn't choose right. I didn't choose well. I learned from this. This is good. And that's how you begin. I learned, and I will never, ever do that. And you learn how never to say never too, but there are some things you learn that you don't do. I will never be unkind on purpose to anyone. And if somebody says you were unkind to me, I will learn how to take accountability and ownership. That doesn't mean I think I did anything wrong, especially if they're projecting their own fucking insecurity, which plenty of people do all the time. But again, I will apologize. And some people, well, why would you? Because I want to get out of that fucking room. Because the minute I know you're projecting, I got a maladaptive child who needs a therapist and doesn't want to go to one. But in the meantime, they're busy using my time with their hypervigilant nervous system and their unkindness and their manipulative tactics and their thinking their please appease can be a cop-out for when they figure it out and not talk about something. So when you meet enough clown faces, they all have the same human suffering love bug, and none of them in 2024 seem to be going to a therapist or attachment person and say, you know what, I want to become an emotional grown-up. You know how beautiful it is? No, you see them continuing to think that life is like that movie Hangover or Mean Girls. You literally have people laughing at memes. I have people that are so disconnected from me, from my oversoul. I don't even know how they do this. I've been able to at least share this with some of my friends. I have no idea how people don't get to know me. I don't understand. I don't understand. Mentally speaking, they know I'm serious. So when you're sharing with me something that is not funny, I'm going to be polite. I'm not going to be mean about it. But I'm just thinking, how many years go by? And there are those who, that's the part though, those who don't find people who will fill their life. That's why your herd expands. You don't reject your loved ones because they want to share their three-year-old with you. You embrace, you cherish, you say thank you, mom. You learn how to leave it alone. And my brain personally just, I'm mind-boggled. I don't understand how people don't get to know the people that they communicate with. But the therapist, they've explained it. So I have an explanation. It's that mentally, I'm wondering, what does it look like to not be able to notice that your subjective way of living life is completely opposite some other person that you've known like your entire life and you yet don't realize this? I'm just wondering, you know, like I wonder how it goes. Yeah, so if I ever figure it out, I'll let you know. But in the meantime, we're the choice points that choose love, and we don't want to get rid of any of our loved ones. We love them all. They're all accepted, respected. Everybody is special. Not everybody can move into apparently here, because if they don't choose to have self-awareness, they won't be moving here. They use their neuroplasticity and their imagination to continue wiring themselves in whatever world they will have created from that story that began when they were children. And so, you know, here's what you find out about the story. There's one of Patrick Tiahan's shares, the sentences when, you know, like a parent is putting down a kid. You're never going to find anyone. You're a monster. Nobody's going to love you. You know what's sad is when people believe this and you have no way of having them realize this is a bullshit word, it's a bullshit statement, it's a bullshit sentence. But because they will have identified, because with childhood trauma, people have that, the identifiers, the Patrick Tiahan again, hostile, doer, ghost, are we good? And the workaholic, I did the darkness. So the one who's always coming up with, like, you say something pretty and they're like, oh, the end of the world is coming. Okay, so that's only five out of how many other childhood identities there are, but they're teenagers. So the childhood is the adaptive child. But what's sad is that these are grown human beings who have stories in their heads. So a person is able to be a choice point for each other. One, if you're secure attachment, functional adults, because you talk to people. You look at them with your higher social engagement system. Two, if you're a person who is just, you know, first time tuning in. If you have emotional triggers, they're very straightforward. Oh, the cashier lady looked at me weird. She's a fucking bitch. There you go. There's one. Oh, I'm going to beat up my coworker today because he looked at me weird. That's another one. Okay, so Patrick Tiahan, go look him up. Meantime, let's try to have functional adult love language conversations, and we'll be back with more. Have a great day.